foreskin. Bring
it on, folks. I'm getting some. Can I get a hell yeah?
Yes, I am a pirate.
You have to go with the pirates because, of course, they have cannons and everything.
It's a pirate's life for me.
Be proud of who you are and what you are. You're a pirate.
There is a first goal.
Because when you're in East Carolina, you go for it every time. When you don't coach in East Carolina, you don't come to East Carolina, you don't play in East Carolina with a weak heart. Write it.
I think I've ever been in a building as loud as that was. It was deafening in there.
Whoever from Omaha, I can promise you that.
Cannon crumple all night long in Eastern North Carolina.
You're watching The Sports Objective, the podcast for Pirates.
Yeah.
My heart is purple and gold. I'm a pirate down to my soul. And I don't back down, not at all. Find out when the cannons explode.
All right, welcome in to the Pirate Football Playback, UTSA. And I know everybody is so excited to be here on tonight, but actually, the sun came up today. We lost. Yes. Did we lose? Yes, we lost. 54-28. We're going to talk about that. But guess what? It's a brand new day. And I bring in the kinder and gentler Kyle Barber. A lot of people were disappointed last night, but Kyle is, he's kinder and gentler.
Yeah. Kyle from LaGrange, Barber. First of all, two things. One, the UTSA game yesterday was extremely disappointing, but the season's not over. A lot of football left to be played. Oh, I guess technically two more games left to be played, but there's a lot left to be accomplished is the point of what I'm saying, and we'll get into that more later. And then secondly, I do want to apologize. On our intro, Blake Harrell says, hell yeah, and I want to apologize. We're going to have to edit that out of our intro, so I want to apologize to all our listeners for that vulgarity in our intro.
All right. As we bring in former linebacker for in the Steve Logan era and our expert on the show, and that is Matt Semenza. What's up, Matty Ice?
What's going on, guys? You know, obviously yesterday was just a horrendous performance, and I've been thinking a lot about my opening statement and, how I wanted to approach this one, because as you guys know, I was not happy with that performance yesterday. But I'll just kind of say it like this. You know, you go back to the Memphis game, fellas. You're coming off of an emotional win where you stormed the field, and I was good with all that. I loved every minute of it. But you could go two ways after that. You could either use that to propel you forward as a team and play really well and put forth a good performance, or you can basically collapse and not be prepared at all. You can't come back from that emotional high. And you're not ready to play a football game. And that's what happened yesterday. We just were not ready to play a football game in any way, mentally, physically, emotionally. And they took it to us. And hopefully we can bounce back this week.
Now let's bring in now, ladies and gentlemen, he's the head coach of the Sports Objective. I'm talking about Stevie Fly. What's up, brother?
Matt, nobody could tell you were upset last night, dude. I mean, really, nobody could tell you were upset. You hit it well. You hit it well. Disappointing weekend.
I tried, Stevie. That was the best I could do.
I know. Disappointing weekend, but, I mean, guys, they're coming off this emotional win. And we just got punched in the mouth for the first play. It's like a boxing match when they get punched in the mouth in the first round and you never recover. We never recovered yesterday, and it's disappointing. Yeah, it's disappointing. Everybody, I wanted it just as bad as everybody else, but we just got to move on and get ready for next week.
No doubt. As we bring in Johnny, I don't know where he is. Stats, Roberts, I think you're in Virginia, right?
I am indeed. I'm in Virginia. You know, I was thinking back. I was like Matt, but not quite as upset with the Pirates' performance. I was just upset that, you know, it's like we always get on these highs where we're so close. we're so close. And then, you know, we get smacked back down and they're like, not yet. Not yet. Whether it's baseball, basketball, whatever, football. Well, not really basketball. We don't really get close in basketball. But I thought about this. Before the season ever started, we had a preview show like many other people did. And I kind of listened to what everybody had to say. And the question was brought up, what would you consider a successful season by the Pirate football team this year when it's all said and done?
7-5.
Yeah, you're right, Kyle. I think a few people said 6-6 in a bowl game and win the bowl game. I know that came up by a few people. So we're beyond that. If we win it, you know, in Boca Raton and then win a bowl game, it's going to be a really good season, and it'll be better than last season. It'll be something to build on. And last night, you know, it was painful, but I have some interesting takes on what I watched last night, and yeah, it wasn't all bad.
Yeah, I kind of echo what Matt said in terms of not being ready and emotionally flat, but I think a lot of it had to do with UTSA. UTSA, again, I'm going to beat this horse or beat this drum, beat the dead horse, whatever.
Easy now, but, Kyle. Easy. But
not being a philanthropist.
I'll try. The other 25-0 in conference play at home under Jeff Traylor. And I think they have a lot of confidence at home for whatever reason. They're super ultra prepared at home for whatever reason. I can't explain why. And I think it's a tough place to play. The dome is half empty, although the crowd does get into it. They had around 20,000 there. For whatever reason, they have a lot of confidence at home. And we had an opportunity early, okay? We missed the deep pass to Brock Spaulding. If you score there, it's 7-7 or 14-7. And then we missed the pick early. You get those two plays, it's probably a completely different ball game. It's probably a back-and-forth game all night. The problem is they have so much momentum and so much confidence at home. They jump all over you. And if you get down, there's just no coming back. They just believe at home they can beat anybody. And they did the same thing to Tulane. They did the exact same thing to Tulane. No different. Scores were very similar. So, I give them a lot of credit for whatever reason they do that at home. But it was a bad combo. We were emotionally flat. They play like they're friggin' Alabama at home. Yeah. And then the third thing, and I want to ask Matt this, you know, with the style of defense we play, how aggressive we are, blitz, 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 is having a really good screen game, is that not the perfect way to attack our defense?
It is, and they had a great game plan, Kyle. It's actually one in my notes tonight to talk about. But, you know, especially when you're aggressive up front and you're bringing pressure, the best way to neutralize that is with screens, with the screen game. And, like, they killed us they had every type of screen in the package yesterday. They had a jailbreak screens. They had tunnel screens, wide receiver screens, really creative stuff where, like, they just get you in a bind. And, you know, we had no answer for it. And, you know, I think this is the first time all year I'm going to be critical of the defense because, let's face it, the defense has played really well, right? I think they've played even way above what we all expected, yep. Right? But yesterday was the first day all season where I felt like, number one, the game plan was bad because we had no answers for the screen game. But you could tell – I could tell there was something wrong on the first play of the game. I didn't see guys disengaging from blocks like they normally do. We weren't physical. We looked tired. That's a good way to put it. Like, there was just something off from the first play. And that's the thing that's like – that's why, like, you guys – I was so upset about the game yesterday because we had everything to play for going into that game, right? Everything. You got a conference championship on the line. Even though it was like a 1.6% chance, you still had the, you know, odds maker say, like, hey, you know, you have a chance to make the playoff, right? And I know it was slim, but everything on the line and to come out, you know, it's one thing to lose – but to not even get off the bus is what really pissed me off. And it's just unacceptable. We have got to challenge ourselves this week and get back to a better performance.
I think we thought we were just going to walk in there and win the game easily. But I think we didn't take into account how good they are at home. and just looked at their overall record and overall stats and the way they've played in all their games instead of specifically how they played at home. I'm not talking about the coaches, I mean the players. And I think the players thought it was going to be a cakewalk. I think the players thought we were going to blow them out. Go ahead, Jared.
Oh, I was going to say, Kyle, you know, the funny thing is that Kyle and I had a conversation Saturday morning, and we identified the fact that, hey, man, if we blitz this team, they're going to kill us with their speed on the edge, a lot of stuff behind the line of scrimmage. That's what I'm afraid of. Well, here's what happened. Do you know that he threw he had 24 completed passes, and 20 of them were 5 yards or less. 20 of the 24 wow. passes were 5 yards or less. 9 of them were behind the line of scrimmage. 4 of them were at the line of scrimmage. 7 of them were 1 to 5 yards. Here, but I'm not going to bore you with stats, but let's just say this. When he's throwing the ball at that distance, it didn't seem like we made any adjustments whatsoever. Do you know the longest pass he threw air yards wise is 15 yards. That was the longest pass he threw. And they had a lot of yards after contact. That's what killed us. They had 150 yards after contact and only, 190 yards after contact and 50 yards through the air. So,
Boy, the coaching staff is not going to like that on film, JR, because that's going to look like they gave better effort than we did, and they are not going to like that.
I wonder how many screen passes they threw that went for over 15 yards yesterday, because there was a ton of them from what I saw.
Yeah, I can tell you right now, Steve.
You're muted, Matt.
Matt's muted.
Yeah, he's muted.
They had to complete at least 10 screen passes. They had to.
Yeah. And, I mean, they were going for big chunks.
They threw a 45-yard touchdown pass that was at the line of scrimmage. They threw a 33-yard pass that was 2 yards behind the line of scrimmage. They threw a 37-yard pass. That was their longest pass of the day, the 15-yarder. It was 22 yards after carry. That was their longest, pass play. But other screens, the 12-yard touchdown. I mean, they did it very, very early and very often.
And then we'll get back to UTSA. Florida Atlantic, I haven't watched them play much this year. I know they pass it a lot. They're not a big screen team, correct? They're more of a up-tempo, spread type, not a lot of screens.
Yeah, I have some disturbing stats about them too, but I can hold those till Wednesday. But
they're not a big screen team like UTSA.
No, for instance, okay. UTEP.
I think we'll be able to get pressure on their quarterback. I think it'll be completely different.
Yeah, I don't mean UTEP. I mean Texas San Antonio. He's only thrown 11 balls, 20 yards in the air all season.
Well,
where Veltkamp has thrown twice as many. So
right, but that gives us more chance to get pressure on the quarterback.
I like
what Florida Atlantic does versus what UTSA does. You can't get pressure on a quarterback when he's throwing the ball at the line of scrimmage and behind the line of scrimmage. When you're standing back there and chunking the ball, you can get after him. So
McCown wouldn't sit back there in the pocket long. He had a quick release.
Exactly.
A screen pass. So this guy, if he's sitting back there in the pocket for a while, we should be able to get pressure on him. Those blitzes that we're dialing up should be able to get some pressure, hopefully.
Well, we'll be able to score.
I just have one quick question for Matt. And I'm gonna shut up because I'm talking too much. And
you got a long time, buddy. Talking
with the quarterback McCown. He threw 5 touchdowns, no picks. I wasn't impressed with him. He never made a difficult throw. He never, made a dangerous throw that put the team in, a turnover-worthy play. That's what I'm going to call it. He never made one of those. He never made a big-time throw. He never did anything really impressive except get rid of the ball. And I think that offensive coordinator was the reason. I think a lot of quarterbacks could have been successful yesterday.
And their receivers and running backs block like Lincoln Riley, Dwayne Harris era, Donnie Kirkpatrick coaching the receivers era, ECU blocking downfield.
Sorry, Dave. I was just going to answer JR's question. Yeah. I mean, there's no doubt about it. I mean, McCown, he's a good, solid college quarterback in that system. Like, he doesn't have the strongest arm you know, that you're going to see out there. But he's really good at that little screen game. The best thing he does as a quarterback is his play action fake is ridiculously good. Did you guys notice how good that was yesterday?
Yeah. I mean,
especially in the red zone. He does a really good job with that. And but look, like we made it so easy for him yesterday. We didn't get any pressure. It was kind of embarrassing to watch, guys. I mean, like, you know, at times we were just rushing three, dropping eight. Other times we were trying to bring pressure. And we just did not look right. Couldn't disengage from blocks. Couldn't get home. I mean, anybody could have sat back there and picked us apart yesterday. And I fully expect FAU is going to, you know, they're going to look at that film. And I expect to see some jailbreak screens and some tunnel screens this week. They're going to try to replicate that.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you, Matt. I know we're going to break down the game, but I do want to ask you about, and Stevie, being a former player, and I understand why you get upset because you did the, as I've said many times, that's why we like having you on the show. You've been there. You've done that. Stevie's coach for many years. How do you, this is one question I wanted to ask you, so I don't want to forget. You have a tough day at the office. You have a game that where nothing, I mean, nothing goes right for you. How do you flush that out? We talk about the 24-hour rule where you celebrate for 24 hours, and then you've got the next opponent. How do you do that to flush this out right now and just focus on FAU?
It's tough, man. It is really tough. And I'll kind of share a story with you guys. I've played in some games that did not go very well. I was a part of that Syracuse game in 1997 up in the Dome. I know you guys all are. You know, you remember it, and we're all trying to forget that day. But I can just tell you, like, the next few days in practice after that game were not for the faint of heart. I mean, it was everybody was in a bad mood. The coaches were in a bad mood. The players were in a bad mood. We were battling, you know, and so you're going to have a lot of guys ready to go this week. And, like, the only thing you can do is just go back to work. You got to somehow flush it, watch the film, but you got to flush it and find a way to just focus on the next one because you don't want to let them beat you twice. That's the biggest thing. And so you got to get back to work tomorrow, you know, in the film room. Look, everybody's beat up this time of year too. Everybody's tired. People have bumps and bruises, you know, bone bruises, everything, but you got to find a way to suck it up for one more week. And put a best, you know, your best performance on the field.
Yeah, Holton and I were talking, you know, on the fifth quarter yesterday, and I brought this up, and he liked the idea, and he agreed 100% that if I was Blake, I would kind of do the opposite of what you think. Maybe you're implying this, Matt. I would take it easy at practice this week. Let guys rest. Holton said make practice fun. He said make it fun this week. You know, would it be in Thanksgiving week? You don't have any students there, so that's good. You don't have to hear about this from students or any negativity on campus. You can kind of lock in and just be a family unit, so to speak, for lack of a better term, and just, you know, be the football program without a much outside noise. So I think that's good. You know, I this is the first time Blake's been in this situation. So it'll be interesting to see how he responds. I mean, he's come out of losses, but this is the first time under Blake Harrell that we have not been competitive in a football game. Think about that.
17 games.
Yeah, so I would expect we're going to respond well. I do think Florida Atlantic is much better than their record. I think they're playing really good offensive football right now. Defense, I don't think they could stop air. But I do think they are playing good offensive football. And, you know, this is I think it's a good challenge for our defense to come out. We don't have to be perfect. We don't have to hold them to, you know, 14 points or something like that. But, you know, I actually like that they're a passing football team and that, they're going to throw deeper than UTSA. So we're going to be able to get pressure on the quarterback. But I think this is a good challenge for our defense. I think if you were playing, you know, Charlotte this week, although to that note, I think the American is doing themselves a huge disservice by not scheduling East Carolina, Charlotte. Florida Atlantic, South Florida, Memphis, UAB, you know, Army, Navy, that's a different thing. So Navy, Temple, that UTSA, North Texas. Why is the conference not scheduling regional rivalries for the last week of the year? But anyway, that's another topic for another time.
Guys, go ahead, Stevie.
Yeah, I think you really just need to hit the reset button this week. Pressure, you know. Yeah, like Matt said earlier, we had everything to play for this last week. Now the pressure's off. Go out there. Just concentrate on winning this game and getting a good bowl game. Just get back to what we have been doing. I mean, just – I don't know about you, Matt, and, I mean, JR, I don't know if you played ball or not, but if before every game I ever played in or coached in, if I didn't have the nerves, I went out there flat and just unemotional, and I had a terrible game. I just wonder how many of these guys were just like that this past week. Because I could tell, I would tell even my coaches, if I wasn't nervous, I was like, this is not going to be a good game. I'm not nervous. And same thing with playing sport, any sport. If you don't have that nerve, then you're going to be flat. And a lot of those guys yesterday were flat.
I'm going to be honest, Stevie. I felt flat yesterday before that game. I'm not making a joke. I just –
Oh yeah, well, it was kind of, you did say that you had a bad feeling.
Yeah,
you know, you did say you had a bad feeling about it.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, and go ahead, Dave. I'm sorry.
No, I was going to pitch it to you about breaking down the game, and you know, we were talking about one thing. I want to tell the fans too is let's support this team. We were very angry during the game because. It hurts. I know it hurts even more if you're a player or coach like Matt. But that game is over with. Let's flush it out. And this is when the team really needs Pirate Nation to step up. And I'm speaking to the fans. Let's lift this team up. We've had a great year. Let's not turn on the team. I don't think they will. But FAU, let's focus on, like, that's our bowl game. Focus on, like, that everything means a lot and not put too much pressure on it, but Matt, how do you feel about that? About going down there, taking care of business, like Kyle said, have fun at practice. You've had a great year already. Not pack it in, obviously, but you can have a 9-4 year still. So it's not like we had a huge disastrous season where we're not going to make a bowl and this game doesn't matter. This game still matters.
Yeah, like I think this is the type of week where like you have to look yourself in the mirror as a program and coaches and players, because I don't think anybody performed well, particularly yesterday. And you have to look yourself in the mirror and make sure you're ready to go. And like you have to be honest with yourself too. And you know, when you look back at that UTSA film, and you know, there were just so many uncharacteristic missed tackles, fumbles. You know, we would catch the ball. And then we'd fumble it. Hauser, who is, you know, Mr. Consistency, right? Like 95% of the time.
Overthrew everybody.
Yeah, just had a rough day, man. Like, in, you know, it's tough when your quarterback, and I'm not at all, like, Caton's been great for us, you know, and I'm very confident he's going to bounce back. But, like, when your quarterback has a really rough day like that, and you're missing wide open receivers down the field, you're just, you know, it's hard to recover from that. So I just think it's the type of week where you, like, if I was the coaching staff, I would really challenge the players. Look yourself in the mirror and ask yourself what you want to do with the rest of the season, because you can still win 8 games and you still have a bowl game.
Matt, do you think – I mentioned earlier I thought maybe they thought they were going to walk over everybody. Do you think it was the other way? Do you think – instead of thinking they were just going to walk in their win, do you think that they felt too much pressure after the week before, after, you know, conference championship talks, top 25 votes, you know, talks of, you know, college football playoff? Do you think they felt too much pressure? And now this week there really is no pressure. It's all about pride, going to get 8 wins, no pressure. Nothing's really going to change except your record with what happened Saturday, but what happened Saturday is very important to me. I want to finish 8-4 in the regular season, something we hadn't done in a decade. But do you think it was, instead of maybe, as I suggested earlier, them being overconfident, do you think it was basically with Hauser? To me, Hauser performing that way, do you think it was too much pressure? Because that's the only way I can explain Hauser's performance.
I had a one.
It could be. I mean, it could be a pressure. I just think for whatever reason, this is kind of the way I interpreted it, that for whatever reason, we just could not get ourselves down off of that emotional high and from last week. And you know, some teams can handle that and some can't. And for whatever reason, I don't know if there were just too many pats on the back this week. I don't know what the preparation was like, but it just wasn't the same team we've been watching all year.
And guys, I wanted to mention too, you know, you look at this team, you were talking and you made a great point, Matt, about the fumbles. And how about that catch? That was in the first or second quarter. But the Anthony Smith catch where he's got the ball and he has his he's not even protecting the ball. He had the ball out with one hand running with the football. I mean, that's easiest. I'm not saying it's easy, but for the defense, that's an easy ball to strip. It was just things like that.
Yeah, he was trying to get extra yardage without securing the ball.
Yeah. But there was things like that that I haven't – we've seen him drop passes, which is, like, infuriating. You know, that one touchdown pass a couple weeks ago.
To me, in that situation, Dave, he was trying too hard to make a big play rather than just securing the pass, bringing it in, and then worried about getting extra yards. I think he was trying too hard. That particular play you're talking about, I think he was trying too hard to make a big play.
Stevie, let me throw this to you since you're a coach. I mean, I have never seen an offense. I've been watching football for, good Lord, 40-something years now. I've never seen an offense false start so much. I mean, there was a sequence yesterday, Stevie, where we false started three times in a row. I don't think I've ever seen that all my years watching football.
That was late in the game, man. That I can tell you. I think that was frustration.
Yeah, Justin's comment, Justin Butt's comment a little earlier about the noise and how loud it was in there. Justin, I don't know, he was there. So, but yeah, I mean, but this has been going on all year with us too,
right?
You know, we cleaned it up a few weeks, but we've had that happen with that offensive line. I really don't know, Matt. I mean, I've never seen it like that. Kyle, it could be frustration at the end of the game, but we've had it happen in so many games.
Yeah, but not three times in a row.
Yeah. Hey, but you know what the worst part about the whole situation was is the timing. Like when we did it, I mean, we did it in the first quarter when it was third and one.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, don't you remember what game was it, JR, that – was it Tulane that we had
Tulane, Stevie. We were down in their red zone. Pressure. We were in their red zone, right. And then we had a third and one false start, and we were, I think, in their territory for sure. And then we had a third and two on their 24. Then we had another third and two false start, and then we had a third and seven false start, you know, on their 27-yard line. I mean, every time we had a false start, you know, we're trying to score. It's ruining our scoring drive. And go ahead. I was just going to say, defense had five penalties too, and every one of those were either a third down or a fourth down penalty, and all of them cost us. They extended drives. It was terrible.
A lot of penalties in the secondary too.
Defense looked tired to me and not prepared for what they were running, and I also think we didn't match up well with what they ran. But offense, I'll go back to what I said about the pressure and Hauser. You look at when he hasn't performed well. NC State, to open the season, he didn't play well until the second half. Tulane, he didn't play well. The offense didn't play well. Pressure, big time game on the road against the best team in the league. And then yesterday with conference championships up on the line, pressure. So I think, you know, the Memphis game, he did play well. But I think at times Hauser and this offense kind of can't handle pressure well. And I think we saw two different things yesterday. I think offensively we didn't handle pressure, and I think defensively we were tired and they out-schemed us.
Hey, Dave, bring up Brian Pays's – Last comment.
Yeah,
healthy Tegan Wilkes too. I mean, we missed that yesterday too. He makes that defense go, especially that secondary.
Well, he came back, didn't he? He was
yeah, he did, but he wasn't right. I mean, he was not healthy. Yeah. He was not all over that field like he usually is.
Yeah, hopefully he'll be good to go for Florida Atlantic.
Matt, I did have a question for you. I was thinking about last night, so I'd want to ask it now. Is how much of it is, and I know we, you know, everybody could say excuse. I'm not making excuses or spinning. How much of it is, speaking of Tegan Wilkes, the guys are banged up. Everybody's banged up. I know that's probably what you're going to tell me, but like when you were talking about how slow they looked, is that because some of the guys are not just not 100%?
Well, the guy that would have been backing up Tegan Wilkes got kicked out of the game. For, that's another thing.
Yeah.
Monica has a good question.
Well, yeah. And then Polk had to play, who would have normally been the third free safety.
Yeah, he played at the end of the game, Monica. You probably had turned it off by then. But
he played secondary.
He did earlier in the game? Okay, I don't remember.
No, I'm talking about at the end of the game. He was in the secondary.
He also punted. He punted also.
Monica, go ahead, keep asking the question. But I don't know. I hadn't seen Monica up here before. She's asking some good questions tonight.
Monica's been up here, and she also calls into Pirate Radio.
That's who that is. Yeah, she did. She had a good call on fifth quarter the other night.
You want her number, Stevie?
Oh, no, yeah. Just let her keep calling fifth quarter. I'll listen to her.
All right.
Let's keep it. Yeah, so, you know, like, JR, actually, I wanted to ask you, and I know I'm sure you don't have this in front of you, but this would be an interesting stat. And for the new people tuning in tonight, JR is our master stats guy. But do we have to lead the country in false starts? I'm
I don't think that's an official stat, Matt, but you know that I could dig it up. I could do it.
I would love if you – I don't know where you find this stuff. I can't find it, but, like, I would be willing to bet $100 to anybody listening right now that we are leading the country in false starts.
We're definitely leading the country in false starts at very bad times, you know, inappropriate times. I mean, it's killed us so many different times. But, yeah, I'll see what I can do to figure that out. Hey, I wanted to say that, you know, we just played Memphis. I thought that was the fastest team in the league for sure. But, you know, the quarterback was on one ankle, and, you know, I don't know how much that affected their overall team speed. But this team, the announcer said a couple of times, well, they're just slobber-knocking the Pirates. But really, it wasn't – they were very physical, but their speed was the best we've ever seen all season. Like, all their rushing success all came on the edge. 20-39 rushes were around – we're on the outside of the ends, and 143, the 210 yards, that's like 70% of their offensive yards came on the edge. They had nothing up the middle. They couldn't do anything against our interior linemen.
Yeah, their game plan was great. It's really what I fear, and I think we'll adjust, and you are who you are at this time of year. So, you know, Florida Atlantic ain't doing that. I don't think they're just going to suddenly start this week. I fear we were exposed a little bit on defense yesterday on how to attack us. But again, if you don't have 560 screen games and it passes in your offense, you're not going to – that's what UTSA does. That they didn't just do that yesterday. That's what they do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we also, you know, like the last 2 weeks, like to your point about running outside, everything on the perimeter, like Memphis exposed us with outside zone bad. And, like, look, they're taking what we're giving them. If we're in a three-man front, you know – what you're going to do is you're not going to run up the middle against three men. You're going to try to get it outside where you have them, you know, you're at an advantage offensively. And so Memphis killed us with that outside zone. And, you know, it was similar with UTSA yesterday, like just everything is perimeter based, even the runs, and we're just outflanked a lot of time. And it just got ugly. And like their personnel is built for those screens. They have a lot. I don't know if you guys noticed, they have like three guys that are – they're probably like 160 pounds. They're tiny, but they can fly.
Yeah.
And, I mean, and those guys hurt us bad. I mean, they we looked like we were stuck in mud.
What we didn't do well yesterday that we did well against Memphis, and we've done well so many other times this year, it's okay. It's okay to give up a big play, get beat on the perimeter when you lock it up in the red zone. And we did not do that yesterday at all. And that's why I go back to we look tired. Because Memphis, yeah, they had a lot of yardage, but 24 points, or yeah, 27 points. And that's fine. I will sit here tonight and put a crisp $100 bill on, and you know, hope I don't have to eat my words. But if we give up 27 points to Florida Atlantic, we're going to win the football game.
Hey Kyle, it's funny you bring up 27, because prior to this Roadrunner game, the defense has never given up more than 27 points. Yep. You know, BYU scored 34, but one of them was a defensive touchdown. No, we've never given up more than 27 points before. That's what was another thing that was so frustrating.
Exactly. And unless we have another game offensively like we did this past week, I feel really good about the Florida Atlantic game, despite what they can do on offense. I think it's going to be a bit of a shootout. But I if we hold them to 27 points next week and we're not sitting here victorious, I'll be shocked. You guys agree with that? Because I don't think they can stop air.
I agree with you. Mm-hmm. I agree with you 1,000%, Kyle. I would love – by the way, I've been meaning to – I forgot to text you guys this earlier this morning. Have you guys seen a line so far for the game?
Yeah, 6.5 or 7, depending on where you bet.
Okay. All right, so just curious there.
Yeah.
Hey, Kyle, I do want to say one thing. It's like – it's Groundhog Day, though, all over again. I didn't expect to find this. I really didn't, because Veltkamp – he leads the nation in interceptions thrown. He's thrown 15. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm thinking. So I did some splits on him, home and away. It's the same thing. We're doing the same thing again. Here we go. So
yeah,
FAU.
They're not winning at home.
Not, well, they're 3-2, and one of their losses was yesterday against Connecticut. They could have easily won that game and been 4-1 at home, but their only loss coming against Memphis. But here's the thing. They've scored 44 points at home, 21 on the road. They're -3 turnovers on the road and even at home. And with Veltkamp, 13 touchdowns, 2 interceptions at home, and 11 touchdowns, 13 interceptions on the road. So it's not quite as extreme as Texas San Antonio. But again, rushing touchdowns, 11 at home, 2 on the road. So, you know.
Give me their 3 wins at home.
Okay, it's Florida A&M, so that's a that's a disqualifier. I get it. I think Temple and FAU. Temple. They beat themselves yesterday against Connecticut. Yeah, but no, they played Memphis. I don't have that right on, but I'm pretty sure it was Memphis. I don't know.
I'll look it up. You talk amongst yourself.
I have too many notes here. I can't. Okay.
What was? Oh, go ahead, JR.
No. I wasn't talking. I'm looking. I'm trying to get this information for Kyle.
I'll tell you. I thought. What was going on with Jeff Traylor yesterday? I mean, I guess he was upset about. You know, last year he felt like there was some kind of cheap shot.
I'm convinced Jeff Traylor is a homosexual.
Well, I'll tell you this. He acted really soft because there were no cheap shots on McCown last year. I'd like to go back and watch that game just to see it. But, like,
they kept harping on the picture when we hit him clean hit and he got his helmet knocked off. If I remember right, his helmet came off several times during that game. I don't think it was just that hit. I think he was having a problem with his helmet or something because he had to come off the field several times last year. But, yeah. You know.
He was crying.
Took that as a motivational factor all week with his team, and it worked. Obviously, it worked.
And I'll tell you, I thought there were some cheap shots on Hauser late in the game, too. There was one that where he slid and he got hit while he was on the ground, and somehow a flag wasn't called. But I was happy to see Hauser get out of that game because I really think that, you know, they were trying to take
him
out.
They were after
him. They were. I would have taken him out. Quickly, I want to say this. I'm going to come back to that. Their 3 wins at home are against Florida A&M, UAB, and Tulsa. So the Tulsa win was pretty dominating. So that one is quality. But Florida A&M and UAB ain't exactly scaring me. So that's FAU's 3 home wins. Yeah, that you want to talk about something that I disagree with the coaching staff on. I would have pulled Hauser at the beginning of the fourth quarter. They were trying to hurt him. It was obvious. And there was absolutely no chance of us coming back in that game. So completely stupid for the coaching staff, and it's the first time I'm being this critical on this particular coaching staff about anything. But Abbott Hauser in that game in the fourth quarter, the way they were taking shots on him when the game was out of hand, they finally pulled him with, I don't know, about 6 minutes to go in the fourth. He would have never stepped foot on the field in the fourth quarter. Particularly when you got, you know, you got the young kid that we put in, that whatever his name is, can't think of right now. That played the board. Then you could have put in Mike Wright. So I do think that was a huge coaching miscue by Blake Harrell and JDB leaving Hauser out there in the fourth quarter.
I disagree, only because I feel like they were trying to make it respectable, and and they were definitely taking a risk with Hauser. Was that worth the risk? Because a non-winnable game. But I mean, come on, Kyle.
No, I don't. Make it respectable. You should have done that in the first half.
Respectable.
On side kicks repeatedly when you're down. If you were worried about making it respectable, you either win the game or you don't. I mean, it's not worth getting your quarterback hurt to make the score look pretty.
Well, yeah. I didn't care so much that he was in there, but I don't know why we were having quarterback design runs.
that bothered me too, man.
Well,
that was kind of my biggest issue. It was like, all right, fine, keep him in the game, whatever. Like, let's try to find some rhythm, but like, we don't need to be running him on design quarterback draws when they're trying to cheap shot him.
I would argue Matt a little bit there. At least in that situation, he controls the contact a little bit. When he's back there in the pocket, he doesn't have any control of that contact.
Well,
go ahead, Dave.
No, I was just going to say I agree with you guys, because for me, the coach, like you said, Kyle, what I want to ask the coach is, what are you complaining about? Last year is, guess what, sir? Last year, sir, look at the scoreboard, because you're way ahead up on us. And so, everybody's talking about that. We have a game called football, and if you don't like it, play another sport. I'm just so sick and tired of hearing about targeting, and it gets on my nerves, especially when, not to go down a rabbit hole, when they don't know how to call the targeting call. But anyway,
targeting is a joke. Targeting is,
yeah, it is.
These targeting rules are hurting college football so bad. First of all, the targeting call, was it McKinley yesterday that got called on targeting?
Yeah, it was.
That's a questionable call, and I'll tell you why. Like, you're a safety, right? And when a receiver catches a ball who's on his way to the ground, all right, you're supposed to finish the tackle, but you can't go anywhere near the head or they're going to flag you. I thought he got his head to the side, and I thought he used his shoulder. Now, did it appear to be a little bit high? Yeah, but that's just football. Like, at a certain point, you have to let guys play the game. And, like, again, I say this all the time. All right, all the time, but the first targeting, you should not get kicked out of the game.
Amen.
You should get the penalty and a warning. If you get targeting twice, fine, kick him out. But, like, that was very questionable. Come on. Like,
yeah, to me, with targeting, the Pays is correct. That's what a trailer used as motivation. I guess whatever you can use it. It worked, so props to him. But I think with targeting, I think if it's not egregious, I think that's when it should be called. If it's clearly helmet to helmet, if it's clearly, somebody's hit hunting, but in that situation, no. If he's leading with his shoulder and it just happens to make hit to hit contact because the receiver's going to the ground, I don't think that should be called. I think you've got to adjust the targeting penalty. I think we've gone too far with the protection over concussions and CTE and all that. I think we've come a long ways with equipment, and you're not even hearing much about CTE anymore. Which I guess some people could say, hey, these rules are working then. But I think it probably has more to do with the improvement in helmets.
No doubt. And also the fact that, that frustrates me. It is what it is. I'm going to flush the game out. I did want to, did you guys have anything else on the game as far as breaking it down or talking about it?
And I was going to tell Kenny, he's to circle the next UTSA game in Greenville. Unfortunately, that'll be in 3 years. You got a ways to go.
We didn't get that.
Really? I'm still circling it though. I wait.
Yeah, we don't play UTS. They come off the schedule for the next 2 years.
So. Yeah, I know. I'll wait though.
Mike, and that's something else.
JR's gonna go out there and get him himself. And listen to him. I'll wait though. I'll wait.
Hey, Jeff. Hey,
I'll go ahead, Dave.
Hey, Jeff, can I get your autograph and then just punch him in the face? But anyway, the
violence.
Yeah, it is.
I had one more thing about the game. I don't want to go without, you know, a lot of people said we gave up. And I think by watching that game, you could identify either people were exhausted or they were given less than 100% effort. And that's like the one thing that you just can't forgive. But I think a lot of our players were still playing hard. And I want to say, especially Jamar Lee Riddle. I know he's my guy, but still, he was bringing it 60 minutes, and I just respect him for that. And I just wanted to give him a shout out because he definitely never gave up. He never stopped, you know, trying to do his best. So,
well, you know, I'll tell you, and it's a real thing. And, you know, as a fan, I'll ask Matt, this is a great question for Matt, actually, if I do toot my own horn. When you win a big game, all right, like we did Saturday night, as a fan, at least for me, I have an adrenaline dump. Where I get so excited, then I feel exhausted afterwards for a couple days. As a player, okay, you're obviously in better shape than my fat ass is, but as a player, I would imagine that adrenaline dump is at the next level when you have a win over Memphis. So how do you get exhausted for a couple days after that like I do when I have an adrenaline dump?
I think you definitely do, and like – you know, and another part of that adrenaline dump was like, what do you do after the game? I mean, we would party after games pretty hard too. So you throw in that as well. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, that's a real thing too. So the adrenaline dump plus, you know, you might go out and party pretty hard after that.
Well,
game.
You're still riding adrenaline. You're still on the high. So then when you come off of when you crash, you have the adrenaline dump, and then you go out partying, and you keep that, you stay high, so to speak, drinking. And partying, and then Sunday, Monday, you're probably you're going to crash. You're going to crash like, and you know, I wonder how long it takes to recover from that physically and mentally is what I'm asking you.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think it's different for everybody, and like, it's obviously a real thing because Vegas knows how to set up those lines. They look at all those things, which is amazing to me. But no, it's definitely a real thing, Kyle. I think it's when you're 20, I think it's much easier. I think it's like in some ways it's easier for a player to kind of get back to work. Like once you get on the practice field, I'm just laughing at Paze's comment there. I cannot tell a lie. You definitely saw me drinking the penny draft at the elbow room for sure.
It's past the statute of limitations, right, Matt?
I think it was Pabst Blue Ribbon they had that. But
I know you're a hipster, Matt.
What's that?
I know you're a hipster.
Yeah.
PBR is a hipster beer now.
Yeah. I'm not a beer guy. You know that.
Yeah.
But here's the thing, man. Like, these 20-year-olds are resilient, and, like, you just have to be able to put it back together, get on the practice field, and get to work. I mean, it's just that simple. I don't really have an answer for it, but you just have to be professional and find a way to get through it.
I'm just happy.
We clearly didn't. You know, we clearly didn't.
Yeah, I think if that game would have been in Greenville, we'd have won it. And I know that sounds insane, but they're a completely different team on the road. I also think if we'd have been playing UAB, for example, yesterday, we'd have won it. I think we were playing the wrong team at the wrong place at the wrong time. It was the perfect storm yesterday.
No doubt. Yeah. And,
and nothing went our way. Every 50-50 went their way, every one of them. And you know, people say, well, you don't blame the referees when you lose by 34 points. And I'm not blaming them, but, I mean, they definitely were pretty bad at the beginning of the game.
Yeah, but it always happens that way for UTSA at home. I mean, everything goes their way. Every call, everything. I mean, you really have to start wondering why that is beyond just their performance at home. Why does every call seem to go their way at home? I don't know what's up, what's in the water in San Antonio. Maybe they have some of the same influence UTEP has, Matt.
Hey, Matt.
The with their major donors?
Yeah.
Hey, Matt.
South of the border.
You remember when, for the NBA fans out there, I used to always hear about how Michael Jordan and the Bulls, you know, and they're talking about the 90s Bulls, obviously, not now. They always get the calls. They always get the calls. And, you know, at some point, you know, you just have to say, you know, they're a good team. And sometimes, yes, Michael Jordan would get calls and you're like rolling your eyes like, wow, you're going to get that touch foul to Jordan. But they won a lot of games.
That was all those Knicks fans.
Yeah, but the thing about the Bulls is
I wasn't trying to
easy play. Now. Easy now.
The Bulls were good on the road and at home. This UTSA team is for 4 years now, since 2020, have been unbeatable at home in conference play in the American and Conference USA. Yet on the road, particularly this year, they're horrible. And it's not like a FAU situation where you can look at the schedule and go, well, look, there's why. You know, they're beating good teams. And, you know, this year alone, they blew out Tulane, they blew out East Carolina, and they blew out a decent Rice team, yet they can barely beat Charlotte on the road. It's that's their only road win this year, is that Charlotte. And it won't impress them. It's inexplicable. Inexplicable. Yes, Stevie, I'm a philanthropist.
Yeah. So I'm going to say this. Are you – I know that I'm not happy with the loss, but aren't you happy, Matt, being a former player, Stevie, being a coach, the fact that you have a situation now where you do still have a game, where you still have a game. What I'm saying is you still have one more game before the bowl game. So it's not like we got blown out in a miserable fashion, and then you got to turn around and play the bowl game in a few
weeks. Yeah.
Definitely. You know, you got a chance to answer the bell,
You got a chance to make that a blip on the radar screen.
Exactly. Make people forget about that game.
You played 10 good games this year.
Yeah. I mean, it's just like I said last night, one game doesn't define this season. There's good teams out there that have this happen to them before, but we just laid an egg yesterday, guys. And we're gonna bounce back this week. We're going to answer the bell this week. And get on a roll and go into whatever bowl game we get to.
All right. Speaking of which,
let me ask you this. Let me just comment on that really quick.
Okay, go ahead.
I'm sorry, Dave. We were talking at the same time. We got a little lag here. If we don't win this game, I feel like this season is a complete failure. I really do, because
I won't go that far.
When you're in this position, you know, coming off that Memphis win, I think to lose two straight would be a disaster. And you know, like, here's the thing. Like, my goal is the conference championship. That's another reason why I was so aggravated yesterday, because, look, I think there's always something to play for. You can always find something to play for. But that was a tough pill to swallow, losing out on an opportunity for a conference championship, especially in that fashion. Like, again, it's one thing to lose, but it's another thing when you just don't get off the bus to show up to play a football game. And that was the part that was tough to swallow. And I just hope, man, like, this is, to me, like, this week for the coaches is all about, like, look yourself in the mirror, players and coaches, challenge yourself to do better. Because this is a game you have to win, in my opinion. Like, I just feel like the season will be a total disappointment if you lose this game.
It'd be a disappointment. I wouldn't say it would be a complete disaster, but if you lose two in a row to close out the regular season, you know, you limp into the bowl, and then the bowl becomes a must win. So you don't feel like the season was a complete disaster, because then you don't want to finish 7-6 when you had the opportunity for 9 wins, or 10 wins last week. But yeah, I didn't play the game, but I can tell you, to me, this game is no less important now, no less at all. In fact, you know, I won't say I would want it even more, because obviously we'd be in position for potentially a conference championship had we beat UTSA. But to me, I have in my head, and I don't know what you guys' criteria are, but I try to be realistic and look at history. And to me, 8-win regular season, so 8-4, 8-3 back in the day, is what I consider special season at ECU based on history. you know, like I said, we've only had five of them in the last 25 years, eight-win regular seasons. So we have a chance still for this to be a special season, win eight games in the regular season, win nine games for just the fourth time in the last 25 years if we win our bowl. And also something else that people haven't, maybe not even don't realize. If we beat Florida Atlantic, this will be our best record in American Conference play ever, ever. We've never lost fewer than three games in American Conference play.
Correct. And by the way, Matt, to your point, I'm glad you said what you said. I had a friend of mine call me, and he said he was happy to hear what I had to say because he's saying to him, knowing what we know about this team and what they were so close, right? He says he feels, if hypothetically speaking, if we lose this week and go 7-5, that he said, dude, that's mediocre. He said, we're better than that. And he said, why are we, he said, as a fan, he's just saying as a fan base, we need to, like Matt's saying, I want to hear, this is one thing I'm going to say to the administration. We don't say enough. I'm trying really hard to be constructive when they hear me say administration. Like Matt said, please mention, and Kyle said it before too, please talk a lot about we're after winning championships. We don't ever, you don't hear that anymore. You don't ever hear about conference championship. And let's get the donors out there that when people say they don't want to, here's another thing. I don't like the fact that we're losing players, or I don't like the fact we're losing games. Well, guess what? There's a thing called revenue sharing, and you're going to have to pony up more money unless you want to, you know, be quote-unquote mediocre. So for me, I want to see the team continue to do well. They will. I think we win this week. We'll talk about FAU at more on Wednesday night for the preview. But, man, if we lose this week, it will be tough. As far as – I don't think it's a disaster season.
It's just very disappointing.
Disappointing. Yes, that's the word.
Yeah, hugely disappointing. And, you know, I think if you finish 8-4, go 9-3, or, you know, bowl game regardless, if you finish the regular season 8-4, two losses in conference, Blake Harrell can go out there on the recruiting trail, in the portal, and on the Pirate Club trail and talk, hey, we're this close to winning and playing for a conference championship, which means we're this close to potentially making the playoffs. You know, you can use all this. And, you know, winning this coming week keeps all that, all those talks alive. There is many years going 7-2 in conference play, or is that too many conference games? Going 6-2 in conference play will get you in the conference championship game many, many, many years.
Yeah.
You throw that up, that comment from Kenneth?
Sure.
But, I mean, Kenneth makes a good point here. I mean, those bowl games have no appeal to me, honestly. Like, I don't know. Maybe I'm just, you know, not looking at it right, and you guys feel free to disagree with me. But, like,
I'll say this, Matt. I look at where we were 2 years ago.
Correct.
And where we are now. I mean, we could be up here talking about a 2-10 team instead of, you know, these guys, you know. Do I want to be in a better bowl game than what we've been in? Yeah. I mean, but last year we beat NC State in the Military Bowl. We didn't play a MAC team. That was great. And who knows what we'll get this year.
I think what he was trying to say is if we finish 7-5, that's
yeah, I agree. I know what he's saying, yeah. But I'm just saying, you know, look at how far we've come. I mean, just this one game, I hope doesn't really sour everybody on how the progress this team has made. I mean,
exactly.
Stevie, if we beat Florida Atlantic this week and then go win our bowl game, this game will just be a distant memory. And in terms of who you play in your bowl game, as long as East Carolina's on the field, the game means something to me. And if we're playing, look, if we take care of business against Florida Atlantic and go 8-4 and they throw us in Myrtle Beach against, you know, a Sunbelt school or a MAC school, then I want to go win that game and get the 9 wins. Now, there are a couple of MAC schools or Sunbelt schools I'd be excited to play in Myrtle Beach. Appalachian State, if they beat Arkansas State, suddenly could be bowl eligible. That would excite me. Marshall would excite me. So I'm not going to say that none of these schools, like you put us on the field with App State or Marshall and you ain't fired up, then something's wrong with you. So there are a couple of those Sunbelt schools, same with ODU, with the season they've had. any of those three in Myrtle Beach, if we beat Florida Atlantic and we're 8-4, I'll be fired up to play them. JMU's another one. So, you can't control who you play in a bowl. And I think what he was talking about, finishing 7-5. Look, if we go handle our business against Florida Atlantic, finish 8-4, I think there's a real good shot that we'll be in. I don't think they'll send us to Annapolis again, but I think there's a real good shot that we'll be in Boston against the ACC, that we'll be in Tampa against the ACC in the Gasparilla thingy, or Birmingham against the SEC. I don't be surprised if you see, you know, whoever's in Birmingham, you know, all right, our bowl situation just quickly, and we'll talk about this more next week. But so we have four guaranteed spots. That is military, Fenway, Hawaii, and Hawaii. What is the fourth guaranteed spot, Dave?
Let's see. We have Fenway, military, Gasparilla, and Hawaii.
No, we have four guaranteed spots. Yeah. I can't remember what the fourth guaranteed spot is. I'll have to go look. And then we have eight other bowls that we get four spots in. So we have eight bowls, okay? Four were guaranteed, and then the other eight we get four of. I can't think of what the fourth bowl is that we're guaranteed.
Gasparilla, B-Pays is saying Armed Forces Bowl.
Armed Forces. B-Pays is correct. So there you go. The Serpro Armed Forces Bowl is the fourth one. So Serpro Armed Forces, which I believe is against the Big 12, the Fenway Bowl, which is against the ACC, the Military Bowl, which is against the ACC, the Hawaii Bowl, which will probably be against Hawaii, is against Mount West, and Hawaii will probably stay home for that. And then we have four bowls out of eight, and I cannot name all eight of those, but I can tell you some of them. Gasparilla, Orlando, Boca Raton, Myrtle Beach, Birmingham, and then there's a couple others just on that list. So that's, you know, so there's opportunities to play Power Five opponents in these bowl games. Or some interesting Sunbelt opponents like App or Marshall. You know, the Hawaii Bowl would interest me if it was Boise State. I have no interest in going to play Hawaii at Hawaii and calling it a bowl game.
How ironic would it be, guys, if we got Wake Forest in a bowl game this year?
I want LSU in Birmingham.
Ooh, I would love Wake. I would love to play Wake.
Give me LSU in Birmingham. I think LSU is not going to give two craps about playing that bowl game. Half their team.
Lane Kiffin might be there.
That's fine.
Audition and talent. Oh, good. Good point, Stevie.
I'll say
the Gasparilla to me is attractive just because of that location. I think it's Tampa is a really easy city to get to. Big airport. I think we'd bring a lot of fans to that. Obviously, you know, you get the weather. And I think you get a pretty good opponent. I'm kind of hoping for Gasparilla.
Kenny said Armed Forces against TCU would be attractive. The only problem with that is basically a home game.
Yes.
TCU has tanked as the season went on.
Yeah, they have. I don't think that game – is it the Armed Forces? There's two bowls down there, and I got to get them straight in my head. He said Armed Forces. It's called the Surf Pro Bowl now. Is that the old Armed Forces, or is that something else?
I think it is. I think it's
one's
the same
played,
one.
One's played in Fort Worth at TCU Stadium, but then one's played at the old Cotton Bowl Stadium. So I'm not sure which one. We have one of those two, though.
Kenneth says Gasparilla against FSU or Clemson.
Boom. That would be awesome. That would be amazing.
Part of me wants to play Appalachian State in Myrtle, even if we go 8-4. We owe App State, dude. We owe App State so bad. I'd be fired up for that.
Just judging by the comments coming in, Matt, and you're a former player, so let me ask you this. So I think what they're saying is what the bowl game means something. Yes, we all want to go to the bowl, and I'm going to go to what bowl if I can. Hawaii is out for me. I don't have that kind of money. But I will say that what was great about last year was you go Annapolis. We had a lot of fans like Matt when we were talking about all of us came together, you know, different, you know, points in between. We were all there. And you beat a NC State that, you know, we're like, wow, that's a great way to end the season when the Charlotte game, we were It was served.
All right, here you go, guys. This is their exact bowl lineup. Okay, you ready? All right. So the first pick goes to the Gold Bowling Military Bowl. They get first pick this year. The second pick goes to the Lockheed Martin Armed Forces Bowl, which is played at TCU Stadium. The third pick goes to the Fenway Bowl. The fourth pick goes to the Hawaii Bowl. Then we will send four teams to one of these eight bowls. The Scooters Coffee Frisco Bowl, which is in Frisco, Texas. Yep. The Boca Raton Bowl, which is in Boca Raton. The Cure Bowl, which is in Orlando. The Montgomery Bowl, the Union Mortgage Gasparilla Bowl, which is in Tampa. The Myrtle Beach Bowl, which is obviously Myrtle. The ServPro First Responder Bowl, that's the one at the old Cotton Bowl Stadium. The New Mexico Bowl and the Birmingham Bowl. Those are our bowl ties this year. So no Montgomery, thank God. So Power Five opponents, off the top of my head, it would be Birmingham, the First Responder Bowl in Dallas, the Armed Forces Bowl in Fort Worth, the Gasparilla Bowl in Tampa, the Military Bowl, the Fenway Bowl, and so that's it. And then the rest of them would be Group of Five.
So if we beat FAU, or do we finish third
in
conference?
Yes, yes. So
would it be a tie? Memphis beats Navy. Memphis has to beat Navy.
And it's not order of finishes. Who picks first? I mean, theoretically, the Military Bowl could decide they want us again and take us. I don't think that's going to happen. I think if we finish 8-4, I think it's a pretty good shot we're in Boston.
That's what I want. I want Boston. I love Tampa, too, Matt, like you were talking about, the location. But Boston would be great. And how close are you to Boston, Matt?
I'm only like an hour and 45 minutes. So, I mean, it would be great from a location standpoint for like any of our fans here in the Northeast. I'll say this about the Fenway Bowl. That bowl game, whoever wins it is the team who wants to actually be there, because it's cold as hell. It's usually rainy. It's windy. It's on, you know, it's at Fenway Park where they cut that field kind of in, you know, on an angle to create a football field. And it's just a weird environment. And like North Carolina went up there last year and got beat up pretty good against UConn.
Yeah.
UConn wanted to be there and wanted to play, and North Carolina clearly didn't. So I'm just saying, if that's the bowl game you get, you know, the Pirates are going to have to come ready to play, because it is going to be 30 degrees and rainy and cold as hell.
Yeah. And, you know, also, I think with the Fenway Bowl, I said that I think that may be where we end up if we beat Florida Atlantic. Also, you got to look at who else is bowl eligible. Because Navy will be bowl eligible. Army potentially can still get bowl eligible. I think they're sitting at 5 wins. They got to beat UTSA, though, San Antonio. I think they're sitting at 5 wins. Or they'll still have another opportunity against Navy. So my point is, Temple can still get bowl eligible. Who do they play this week? So I think it's also going to depend on, you know, I could see Fenway wanting Temple. I don't know. Who knows where we're going to end up? First things first, we got to beat Florida Atlantic. Maybe we go right. I would rule Boca out. I wouldn't think we'd go right back to Boca right after we played in Boca the last game of the regular season. So that's probably one you can rule out.
Yeah, isn't Boca, guys? Help me. Isn't Boca just like the Cure Bowl? Like if you win 6 games, maybe I know that it all depends on.
I mean, it just depends on who you want. No, the Boca Bowl is a little bit higher on the pecking order than the Cure Bowl, but. And sometimes it just depends on who wants you and what matchup ESPN wants, because ESPN owns a lot of these bowls.
Yeah.
So, I think it depends. But I obviously, we stand a better chance of a better bowl if we beat FAU.
How about this? Justin says Military will take Navy, so they would play in their home field.
Yeah, they've only played there like one time ever, Justin. You know, they're bowl eligible almost every year, and the Military's only taken Navy like one time. So I don't know. I don't know. You're just speculating there. But they may take them this year. It's been a few years since they've played. you know, at home. Navy plays it, or Temple plays at North Texas. So yeah, Temple's probably not getting bowl eligible. Yeah, they're not going to get bowl eligible.
Temple, we whatever we did to Temple on that day in Philly, man, we just destroyed. We took their heart. We took their soul that day because they have not been the same. And they just, man, they look awful the second half of the year. I think that game at North Texas, like, if I was putting a line on it, I would just, right off the top of my head, like, North Texas minus 30. They're going to kill them.
That makes sense, Paz. I could see Navy at home. Navy playing Hawaii. Hawaii will probably play at their home stadium. I don't know. It'll be interesting. Who will the military take? I would say Navy's on the table for them to stay home. I would say, you know, with Temple not getting bowl eligible, you can roll them out. I would say they probably don't want us 2 years in a row. But, you know, do they want Memphis? How well is Memphis going to travel to Annapolis? Don't be shocked. Don't be shocked. I, as crazy as it sounds, I would not be shocked if we ended up in Annapolis 2 straight years. I don't think we will, but it would not be the most shocking thing to me if they took us again.
Yeah, I mean, that's not like, what is it? That isn't hardly ever happens, you know. But
it does happen. Hey,
but the one thing about it is we brought it last year. You look at our fan base, the team, the excitement. That was a great – the people, the Military Bowl, did a great job with the events, just the whole nine yards. I enjoyed – that was an easy drive to get to for Annapolis. The kids – I love the fact – and somebody mentioned earlier, what do you guys think about it? I was going to give you the schedule. Okay, so I'm going to give you two things really quick here. You want to go north, you want to go south for the bowl, and do you want it before Christmas or after Christmas? I'll start with Matt.
Oh, man, I'll tell you, like, I just prefer before Christmas because once Christmas hits and then New Year's and I have work trips and I probably wouldn't even be able to go. I would say before, and I don't really – I mean, I love the idea of Tampa personally, if not Fenway for me.
Fenway's post-Christmas.
What do you think, Stevie?
I think after Christmas. I like after Christmas games. No offense to Matt.
I'll
coming down to North Carolina to try to whip me or anything.
Stevie, I want you coming up to Fenway, Stevie. We're going to get you some good Italian food that you don't get in North Carolina, buddy.
You can't get Fenway. You can't get Fenway to Greenville. You can't get Stevie to Greenville. You think you're going to get him to Boston?
We got to get him to Boston. Look.
Hey, Stevie. This is really – this is going to be like the Hangover, but it's going to be the Boston version where everybody's like,
"Oh, good Lord!"
Wife calls and says, "Have you guys seen Stevie?"
Stevie, we got to get you out of Alaska, man.
To continue,
too important in Alaska over here, man. You know how you say
it's the holiday season for Randy Taylor.
Yeah, well, Kyle, you know. Now you know.
That's right. That might be do my Floyd the Barber again, or maybe I should do Malcolm Merriweather.
I'll go ahead and give my opinion if anybody cares.
Go ahead.
I was about to ask you.
I want to go south, and I got to check my Pirate basketball schedule first to see if it before or after Christmas. No, Kyle. But I do have tickets. I do have tickets, but I don't
burn
think.
Them. I tell you what. I tell you, get another digital now. So you can't even use them if your power goes out. Start a fire. So it's useless. But
no, I definitely want to go south though.
To answer the question for me, I don't.
Y'all discriminate against the north. That's your problem.
I personally don't.
Just kidding.
I personally don't care. I want to play a Power 4 opponent if possible.
Yes.
But if we're not going to play a Power 4 opponent, then I'd rather go to Myrtle. Send me to Myrtle against Marshall or Appalachian State. I think that'd be fun.
For me,
the only bad thing about the Myrtle Beach Bowl is the goofiest-ass time and day. 11 a.m. on the 19th.
And Gasparilla's on the 19th as well.
But not at 11 a.m.
I hate them 11 a.m. games.
It's weird. Why would you do that? You clearly.
I can't imagine preparing as a player for
not food, Monica.
Thank you, Monica.
Not pizza, Monica.
Not
yes,
food.
Wait, man, I love Monica, but not pizza.
Wait just a minute. Did Semenza just say food's not better in the South?
Well,
you might have a point with pizza, though.
Well, here's
no, Matt, you're talking about Italian, right?
Italian food, yeah.
My mind always goes to Italian. All right, here's what I mean, barbecue, no doubt. You guys have us killed on barbecue.
Well, I would say everything except ethnic food.
Italian food, steakhouses. I think the best steakhouses are up here.
You ever been to Texas, Matt?
I'm not a Texas guy.
Really?
Yeah, I'm not a Texas guy.
Seems like you would.
Here's a great one. If we play an ACC, SEC, or Big 12 school, I'm happy. I think that's true for a lot of the fan base. I think that if we play Fenway and you have a Duke or a Clemson, North Carolina, any of the schools, and could we play NC State in the Fenway Bowl? I doubt they would do that.
Anything is possible. I would seriously doubt they would play. We'd play them again, but I
in 2 years, and we have, and what would be crazy is you would have the Military Bowl, then we played them in Carter Finley, and then you've got to go to Boston to play them again.
This is me guessing bowl games. If we win, I think the highest probability, this is just guessing. I think if we win, our highest probability is probably Boston. I would say number two. If we win, I think our second highest probability is probably Tampa. And then I would say win or lose, I think it, third probability is going to be Myrtle Beach if we win. I think if we lose, go ahead and immediately book your hotels for Myrtle.
And here you go. Kyle, please, no App State in Myrtle. That is the least exciting possibility. And I agree.
I mean, I agree. I disagree. I think App State, we owe them. They've beaten us three times in a row. It's an in-state rivalry. I know I've talked to other people that feel the same way, If we play App State in Myrtle, they'd be fired up for it. So Myrtle's a close trip. It's an easy trip. App State is a team we owe. And I'm not saying that's what I want. What I want is to take on a Power 4 opponent. But I'm saying if we don't take on a Power 4 opponent, would you rather have a win over App or Marshall, or would you rather have a win over Ohio or Western Michigan? I think a win over App or Marshall would mean a little more to the fan base.
I won't wait to put the two teams with the best record in North Carolina against each other.
Yeah, I don't really want to play Wake right now.
Why?
I think Wake is surging. And get back to me after this weekend.
Defensively, they're surging. Their offense leaves a lot to be desired, though.
They play at Duke on Saturday.
That could be a race to 20 points in that game.
Yeah.
They have Charlotte's old quarterback Purdy, and he's not lighting it up exactly.
Yeah, they're very physical. They play a good defense. I don't get me wrong. I ain't scared. If we play them, let's go.
Let me put up a comment. I want to get your take on this, guys. And I like Kenny a lot. So when I put this, I'm not anti-Kenny. Fans will not travel to Fenway that good. The weather sucks every year for that game, and it's too far north for the Southern boy.
Kenny, let me ask you a question. I saw you on Facebook without your shirt on. You got enough chest hair. You look like a gorilla. Why are you worried about it? You shouldn't get cold.
Oh, God.
You shouldn't get cold in Boston. I mean, you should be good, brother. You are insulated. You are a manly man. That is for damn sure.
I don't know Kenny personally, but Kenny.
We don't have the Independence Bowl this year, and neither do y'all, James. Year, the Independence Bowl.
I would be up for that.
Southern Miss and Myrtle, that could be a possibility, but we don't have the Independence Bowl this year. The Independence Bowl is Conference USA champion against the Big 12 this year.
All right. Well, what do you guys think of that? I think – here's my thing. Boston, I know it's cold, but get some damn hoodies from the student store, fanatics.com. We were talking about last year. Remember how the weather was supposed to be bad, and it wasn't that bad last year. And Matt would be like, "What are you complaining about in Annapolis? You remember that? It's going to be rain and cold and all that." And it turned out to be not bad.
Boston's a little further north than
I know it is. I get that.
I would love. I'm looking here for Kenny's response to my comment. I'm waiting. He's got to say something good. if it's Murder Weech, I will definitely go only a little over an hour from my house. Kenny, you're going to just totally ignore my comment. That's unbelievable.
No, that's Kenneth.
That's not Kenny Curlin. I'm waiting for Kenny Curlin's comment back to me. But anyway, I hope he wasn't offended. I was just picking at him because
Kenny's efforting in the background.
I wish I looked like that without a shirt on. So,
Kenny, make it a good one, man. Kenny, come back. You got to come back with something.
As the boys saw the other night, a couple of the boys saw the other night, Kenny looks better without a shirt on than I do. So I was just the hairy chest, but in the cold weather, I don't know what he's worried about.
Does that sweater come in a really V-neck?
Weird out of context.
Stevie, you like that?
That's right.
Might make him dizzy, though.
That's right. That's right. Well, I'm not worried about us playing on it now. Hey, it's to our advantage. We've already played on it this year.
There you go. I for me personally, I told you guys, and I know Kyle doesn't like my matchup. I said it before, and I'll say it again. I'm going Fenway Bowl and Clemson.
It's not that I don't like it, Dave. I just think Mike Houston knows our talent roster, obviously. So I think that's a disadvantage, an unfair advantage. Honestly, that they would have. They know all our players. Now, would we be fired up to play Clemson? Absolutely. Is this the year to play Clemson? Absolutely. I just don't like that Mike Houston knows our talent roster.
So he didn't know our talent when he was the coach here. So I'm not
good point, Matt.
Zing.
Yeah. Well, boom. I'd rather play somebody else because of that. Otherwise, I'd be stoked to play Clemson. Well, I mean,
let me ask you this, Kyle. Would you and JR, Stevie, you said you wouldn't go.
We don't have Montgomery this year.
I know Dave would. Would you guys come to Fenway if we played there? Like, would you guys actually make the trip? I know Dave would.
Kenny just put up – Dave just put up a comment from Kenny. We don't have the Montgomery Bowl this year.
Kendall. That's Kendall.
Kendall, we don't have the Montgomery. So whoever has that, ignore it. But Dave – or Matt, repeat your question. I'm sorry.
Would you make the trip to Fenway if we played there? Like, I know Stevie said he couldn't. Dave would. JR and Kyle, would you guys make that trip?
It would depend on a couple things. Finances and how interested Jessica is in going. If we can afford it financially or if Matt Simmons is footing the bill, then absolutely. And if Jessica's she likes going to big cities way more than I do. So it may be something she'd be very interested in going to Boston.
Hey, we got a free ride from Justin, the QA.
The ride ain't so much the point. It's the hotel and all the assistant, all the other stuff we're going to want to do while we're in Boston. But that may be something that would interest her quite a bit, actually. So
I would think Amtrak could get you – might be a nice train ride right in. I mean,
I'm going to check the train ride to Boston. My McKenzie especially wants to go on a train, so that would be cool. That's December 27th, so you leave on the 26th. It's just like last year with the military bowl. So you have –
how long of a train ride is that, though? I mean, you
– It's pretty far.
13 hours.
And you leave on the 26th. You're not. You might not get there until midnight.
What you do is you, for the New York City trip out of Rocky Mount, you leave at 2:29 in the morning. And I know, you get up to what is it? 2 hours from Boston to New York, Matt? How far is it from Boston?
It's more like three and a half, something like
three and
that.
A half? Okay.
4 hours. Yeah, three and a half.
So basically, what happens is I've done this twice. So you leave Rocky Mount at 2:29. And you get up to New York about 10:29. That's in the city. So you're looking at that's 8 plus 3. So you're looking at an 11-hour train ride if everything goes the way it's supposed to go. You know how that goes. Yeah. Like you said, probably would have to change trains in New York City at Penn Station, I would think, to another. Yeah, that would be right. Monica's asking, what's her tipping point? Kyle, talking about Jessica, what would get her interested to go to Boston?
To go to Boston, the date's going to be against her because we'd have to leave on the 26th, day after Christmas. So I don't know. You know, she likes big cities. She likes going to see, you know, stuff in big cities. I don't really know. It just depends on how much Boston interests her. If it was New York City, she'd be all about it. Boston, I would say 50-50 on us going to Boston.
Quick thing, by the way, before I forget, fellas, Shill's great son, Randy, played on the soccer team for Charlotte Catholic this year instead of football, and they won the state championship. So nice. While we have a chance, I wanted to give Randy a shout out. I mean, how many people know a state champion? But Shell from the Queen City, brother, congratulations. I can't imagine if my son won a state championship. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, congratulations, Randy.
Congratulations
to Randy and Shell, and so it's a huge accomplishment.
Monica says Boston is a great city.
What's the date of the Birmingham Bowl?
Boston is a great city, man. I actually like it more
Kyle, it's December 29th on a Monday.
Okay, I like that. That's my supposed to go back to work that day. That would be extended weekend. You got all weekend to get there. That is an easy. I like that.
Yeah, I was going to tell you all that. I know we were there just a few years ago.